Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series Walking in Newness of Life Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org. Subject of this audio Walking as Holy People or Belonging to the Lord Chapter 1 Sanctified to Walk in Newness of Life This new material is a continuation of the subjects of the Walking in Newness of Life series and is preceded by the following themes. 1. To be, to abide, to live, to walk, and to bear fruit in Christ. 2. Rooted and established in Christ. 3. The singular freedom of living and walking in Christ. 4. Walking in Newness of Life. In the first three subjects mentioned above, we address several aspects that are complementary to each other in the Lord's calling to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus and that give support to this calling, starting to see the very walking in newness of life in more detail from the fourth subject mentioned above. In the last theme in reference, we also sought to emphasize that the calling to walk in newness of life, in general, is an integral part of God's salvation offered to human beings, an aspect that also shows that the calling to a new life in Christ Jesus is granted to Christians so that they begin to experience the new condition in the Lord even in the time of life that remains for them in the present world and not only in the time after the end of the respective natural life. As mentioned in the last referenced subject, the salvation that God grants to people in Christ Jesus effectively provides for the liberation of a person from the path of darkness and death to put this individual in the way of light and life, but this, so that the saved person also passes to live and walk indeed in the new condition made available in the Lord even though one is still in a natural, transient, or corruptible body. The salvation offered by God to human beings is a from, to so that a person can also effectively live and walk in the condition to which one is saved. The salvation that God offers to all and grants to those who believe in Him, although it has as its central point salvation for eternal life in the Lord, does not only refer to the liberation from a state of bondage to sin, the body of sin, and darkness for a person to remain in a condition of mere expectation or in a stage of emptiness in which only after the end of one's life in the present world one would be able to experience a condition of life in the Lord. In seeking to show that the salvation that God offers to people is granted to those who believe in the Lord to be experienced by an individual from the moment one receives it. Paul, an apostle of Christ, goes so far as to beseech, by the mercies of God, that his fellow believers of faith in Christ understand that because of the heavenly salvation granted to them, they are also called to offer to God, in a living way, even the natural body or the members of this body as instruments of righteousness for cooperation with the Lord, according to the text we recall below. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. By beseeching Christians that each one of them presents even one's body as a living offering to God, Paul, also in this way, shows that in everything, spirit, soul, and body, a Christian, as saved in the Lord, is called to behave according to the new condition one received from God. That is, that a Christian is called to start living in Christ, but also to walk in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, or in the newness of life already in the present world. If, however, we look more closely at the last text quoted above, we can see that Paul, in addition to making a specific reference that a Christian is called to offer even the members of one's body as living instruments to the Lord, also makes a particular reference that a Christian is equally called to offer one's natural body to the Lord as a holy offer or as a holy sacrifice to God. Let us see, then, the last text in reference once again below and with emphasis on the aspect of holiness. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A Christian's being able to walk in the newness of life also regarding what one accomplishes through one's natural body or the members of one's body, even while one is in the present world, has always been considered, before God, as what is rational, evident, or according to a sober understanding. However, since many people are reluctant to understand or accept it according to what is sober, the Lord, through Paul, for example, reiterates this aspect by exposing it in other ways as well. Thus, if, for some, the aspect that Christians are called by God to present their bodies as a living sacrifice to Him does not yet make it clear that every Christian is also called to walk in the present world in the newness of life that there is in Christ or to walk in the Holy Spirit, the Lord also reiterates the same vocation of Christians by calling them to present their bodies as a holy offer or sacrifice to God. In His purpose to do and offer good to human beings in such a way that they also actually experience the good offered to them, God communicates with people in different ways, through approaches from different angles, and from a variety of perspectives, also using the aspect of sanctification as a way of clarifying the walking in newness of life. Just as the salvation offered by God to human beings is a salvation that makes it possible for a person to be freed from the condition of subjection to a path opposite to one's life to a condition of the newness of life in the Lord, so that one can effectively begin to live and walk in this new condition even in the present world, so the call of Christians to sanctification also expresses or reiterates this aspect of salvation. The instruction for Christians to also present themselves as holy or saints before God denotes, as a first aspect, a highly special condition already granted to them and a condition very rich in several details related to the type of salvation by which a Christian received the novelty of life in the Lord. Given this, and considering that the word holy refers to a condition in which someone or something was sanctified before, it is necessary to understand what the act of sanctifying is, because for a Christian to be able to present oneself as holy to God, it is essential that one also has been sanctified beforehand. The act of sanctifying, in its first aspect, is also a reference associated with the salvation that God offers in Christ Jesus to human beings, for the expression to sanctify, similarly to the salvation of God, also basically means 1. To separate someone from a condition in which one finds oneself and from which one needs to be saved. 2. Separating someone from a condition to be placed in a new condition for which one is being separated. 3. Separating someone with the purpose that one is able to live and act according to this new condition. Let us see below a text that expresses very objectively what the action of sanctification, offered by the Lord to human beings, accomplishes. Colossians 1, 13, 14, and 21-23. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, and blameless, and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Therefore, to say that God frees a person from the powers of darkness and conveys this individual to the kingdom of the Son of His love, providing for the remission and redemption of this individual from the sins and powers of darkness so that one ceases to be a stranger and an enemy of God and so that one may present oneself in a new condition before God, is equivalent to saying that God sanctified a person from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. By the salvation that God offers from His eternal kingdom, God sanctifies or separates a person from a condition subject to the powers of darkness, sin, and the eternal consequences of this subjection in order to, In the same process, place this person in a new position or condition of life in Christ so that the person saved, freed, or sanctified by the Lord also starts to live and even walk in Christ. Although the act or process of salvation provided by God to an individual involves specific aspects related to bringing a person out of the lost condition and involves specific aspects related to placing the redeemed person in a saved state, when salvation is also seen from the point of view of sanctifying, it is evident that the salvation granted by God does not refer to incomplete salvation or as if it only offers to redeem someone without also, in the same process, offering the repositioning of a person in a new condition of life for which one has been saved. In this way, when the Lord, through the Scriptures, instructs Christians to present themselves wholly before Him, the Lord does so because the salvation conferred on them has already provided for them both the aspects of remission or redemption and placing them in the kingdom of the Son of His love. When God calls Christians to walk in the novelty of life, the Lord does so because He, through heavenly salvation, has already placed Christians in the condition of the newness of life in which He calls them to walk, for since sanctifying the redeemed also is an intrinsic part of salvation, this salvation could not be only redemption without putting a Christian in a new condition also to live and walk in newness of life. A Christian is called to walk in the light because one has already been sanctified from being subject to darkness to being a child of light. A Christian is called to walk according to the righteousness of God because, in Christ Jesus, one has already been sanctified from being under bondage of unrighteousness and sin to being a justified person in the justification provided by Christ and by having been begotten a new creature according to the truth and righteousness in the Lord. And a Christian is called to walk as a child of God because one likewise has been sanctified from being an enemy of God and a child of disobedience to being part of the Lord's family and, therefore, a fellow citizen with the saints. Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Thus, looking at salvation also from the perspective of the process of sanctification evidences once again that God's salvation has always contemplated simultaneously the calling to walk in the novelty of life in Christ Jesus to everyone who still remains with natural life after receiving Christ in one's heart, for the act of sanctifying someone expresses the act of separating from one condition to effectively pass to the condition of being active in another condition. Now, in its second aspect, the act of sanctifying also refers to the posture and actions that a Christian adopts in one's life as someone who has been previously sanctified by the Lord, making this reference to yet another point that confirms that God's salvation is a calling for a Christian to walk in newness of life also in one's condition of still being in a natural body or the present world. Given this, when applied to Christians, we understand that it is essential to realize that two distinct aspects are being considered in this chapter regarding the expression to sanctify. And this occurs because in the absence of this understanding, a Christian may not understand that it is by God's salvation that one is holy in the Lord to live and walk as a saint, and not that one's own holiness or that one's diversity of good deeds in the world can make him or her holy before God, as was the goal of people under the law of Moses or the first covenant. For a person to be able to do the works of light, one needs first to be separated from the condition of darkness and placed in the condition of light. This is why it is so important to understand that the first aspect of sanctifying precedes the second aspect of sanctifying, that is, that the process of from to precedes the possibility of being able to walk in the newness of life in the to for which a person has been set apart. In the aspect of actually being taken out of subjection to the powers of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, every true Christian has received this separation by receiving Christ Jesus as Lord into one's heart. And every Christian, in this sense, is able to present oneself alive and holy to God to be instructed and strengthened in the Lord as a saint of the Lord. In the aspect of having already been separated from bondage to sin, the body of sin, the condemning law of the first covenant, and the way of death, and having received in the Lord the condition of a new creature, created according to the truth and righteousness, every Christian is a separated or sanctified individual by the Lord to live and walk in the Lord. A reason why every Christian can present oneself as alive and holy to God, as the text of Romans chapter 12 above in reference instructs. From the Christian who was sanctified or saved by God's salvation several years ago to the newborn Christian by the new birth, the calling I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a holy sacrifice to God is for Christians in general and can or should also be performed by every genuine Christian. And this is so because in the first sense of sanctifying, every genuine Christian has already achieved, through believing in Christ Jesus as Lord, separation from one's old condition, as well as has already been inserted into the condition of a new creature in the same Lord Jesus. There is no way for a person to reach the condition of being a Christian, or of being a saint before God, if one has not yet been exposed to the first aspect of sanctification, the aspect that encompasses the separation from the old and inclusion in the new. Having been constituted as a Christian or having been separated from the condition of death in trespasses and included in the condition of the newness of life in God express equivalent and inseparable aspects, one not existing without the other. Ephesians 2:4-6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The first aspect of sanctification, by which every true Christian has received the condition of being a Christian, is a complete and perfect act or process performed by God on one's behalf, for simultaneously with being separated from the old state of bondage to a new condition in the Lord, every Christian also undergoes the new birth, which is in no way incomplete or imperfect. When a person receives the new birth through faith in Christ Jesus as the Lord of one's life, one does not receive an imperfect new birth, but a new birth that makes him or her indeed and rightfully a child of God and a fellow citizen with those who have already been previously sanctified in the Lord as children of the Heavenly Father. When a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and receives him as Lord of one's life, one receives 1. Perfect salvation. 2. Perfect childship in God. 3. Perfect condition of new creature. 4. Perfect made alive spirit. 5. Perfect childship of the light. 6. Perfect condition of being a saint, that is, separated from the world to be the Lord's. 7. Perfect cancellation of the handwriting of spiritual requirements that were against one's life. 8. Perfect eternal justification and forgiveness of sins. 9. Perfect citizenship of the kingdom of heaven and the New Jerusalem, which is from above and not earthly or fleshly. 10. Perfect union with Christ in the new covenant. When a person receives the Lord, one does not receive a partial citizenship record nor a title of partial release from bondage to sin, the condemning law of the old covenant, and eternal death. Everything one receives is rightful, complete, and perfect before God. Let us see below some more texts to exemplify the considerations of these last paragraphs. Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Hebrews 12:22-24. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. John 15:19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John 17:14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Thus, when returning to the second aspect concerning the expression to sanctify, we again emphasize that the Christian is called to behave as holy because one is already holy in the Lord, just as one is called to walk in newness of life for having already received the new life in one's heart and for having already received in the Lord the condition of being able to walk in this same newness of life. Just by way of symbolic example, the person who receives Christ in the heart is, in the first aspect of sanctification, like a person who has received a full and legal release from prison and who has come to have the full rights of a free citizen. On the other hand, however, continuing with this figurative example, a person who is released from prison is released with the expectation that one will not commit the crimes one committed before, but that one will live in the condition of a citizen who lives and walks in compliance with the release condition for which one was released from prison. So, because a Christian has already been saved or sanctified in the Lord, one is also called to present oneself as holy before God. When God calls Christians to present themselves alive and holy before Him, the Lord calls them to present themselves in the condition of who they became in the Lord to enjoy this condition and also so that they do not return to subjection to the state from which they were freed. Galatians 5, 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. 1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought at a price, do not become slaves of men. The calling for a Christian to stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free is a calling for the Christian to abide in what one has already received by the Lord's salvation or the process of sanctification that has been extended to him or her by God's salvation. One more point that shows that the acts in which a Christian is called to persevere refer to postures and actions for the Christian to maintain and grow in the positions or conditions that have already been granted to him or her through the heavenly salvation. Let us look once again at a text that has already been quoted above to show that after a Christian has been rescued and saved in the Lord, one is also called to adopt postures and actions in one's new state and to persevere in the condition granted to him or her in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:13, 14, and 21-23. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, and blameless, and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. In the second point associated with the verb to sanctify, we can once again see the aspect that when a person receives Christ Jesus as Lord in one's heart, one is also redeemed by the Lord's salvation from subjection to darkness and receives the new condition of sonship and citizenship in God. However, We can also see added to this, that it is up to the Christian to decide whether one will indeed choose to remain, live, and walk in the holy condition granted to him or her by the grace of God. In the texts that follow below, we can observe this double condition related to the expression to sanctify, which shows us that, firstly, a Christian was sanctified in Christ Jesus, but also that the Christian was sanctified in the Lord to adopt a posture of holiness that corresponds to the novelty of life to which one has been called or sanctified in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:1-3. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13-14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through sanctification by the Spirit of the Lord and faith in the truth, God accomplishes the salvation or sanctification of those who believe and receive the salvation offered to them by the heavenly kingdom. However, God also calls those who have been reconciled with him in Christ to live and walk in sanctification. And this, for them to continue to reach the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, an aspect already declared also when the purpose of the birth of the Lord Jesus as the Christ for all human beings was announced, as follows. Luke 1:68-75. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Under the law of Moses, a person first had to fulfill the entire law in order to achieve a holy status. Something that no one except Christ Jesus achieved. However, in Christ Jesus, a Christian already begins as a saint to, as such, also live and walk in the world as a saint of the Lord. By right of new birth in God, every Christian is perfectly set apart or holy to be of the Lord and is perfectly a child of God or a child of light. However, this condition of holiness in the Christian's life needs to be practiced by the Christian also in one's various acts in the world so that one is strengthened and established unshakably in this holiness and so that one does not stray from everything that, through the grace of God, a Christian has in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. Romans 6:22. But now having been set free from sin, and having become servants to God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Thus, when a Christian lives and walks in the condition of holiness granted by the Lord and to which one has been called, or lives and walks in the newness of life that is given by the covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christian reaps even more of the fruit of sanctification to which one has been already called. He reaps a greater practical experience in living and walking in the newness of life or holiness already bestowed on one's life, even if one still is in the present world or in a corruptible natural body. When a Christian lives and walks in the condition of holy that was granted to him or her by the Lord, one effectively starts to make use of what is already available in God, But, additionally, one also begins to sow to reap more and more of the fruit of one's condition as holy or new creature in the Lord and also to be strengthened increasingly in the Lord's salvation. Nevertheless, when a Christian despises the condition of holiness or the remission from the darkness and the world that was granted to him or her by the Lord together with the granting of the newness of life in Christ, one places oneself at very high risk or under the possibility of very severe consequences, as also the following texts teach us. Hebrews 10, 29. Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Hebrews 12, 5-11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful, nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-7. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, separating a person who cries out to the Lord to be separated from the path of death and to be placed on the path of life is an inseparable part of God's work, thus making this person a Christian or a saint. However, it is also part of the Christian life or a sanctified individual to adopt postures or actions appropriate to their new condition of life that is conferred on them in the Lord. For the choice to live and walk as a Christian or as a saint is not imposed by the Lord on Christians, instead, it refers to an invitation or calling to be willingly accepted. The gospel is an offer of life in the Lord and strengthened by the Lord, but not an imposition of the Lord on human beings, as it is exposed in the scriptures and whose mention has been repeated several times in the various themes of the systematic teaching about the Christian life. If a Christian would be obligated to live and walk in the status of a Christian or a saint granted by God, and could not do so by understanding and by freely choosing the way of the Lord and being strengthened in the Lord, one would not be indeed in a position where one could voluntarily choose the way of the Lord or the way pertaining to the saints in the Lord. Based on Paul's text mentioned at the beginning of this chapter, we can see that the option for the second aspect related to the verb to sanctify is the only sober, logical, coherent, or rational choice, in the sense of what is appropriate and reasonable, that a Christian can come to make regarding the grace extended to him or her, which is to start living and also to walk day by day in the holiness or unique condition conferred on everyone who receives Christ Jesus in one's heart. However, we can also see that, even so, this decision is a choice that each Christian is called to make personally from one's own heart. In yet other words, because a Christian has already been sanctified in Christ Jesus and by the Spirit of the Lord by receiving Christ in one's heart, one is called to also become holy in all conduct one performs in the world or in the places to which one is called by God to live and walk. And this is yet another way of saying that a Christian is also called to walk in newness of life and that it is up to each one to adopt a favorable position regarding the holiness to which one is called by the Lord. 1 Peter 1:13-21. Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Thus, concluding this chapter by also looking at the principle of putting on the newness of life that is offered to us by the Lord, a point addressed in several other topics mentioned earlier, we recall here that God's salvation or sanctification that God grants to each person who receives Christ Jesus in the heart provides new garments of life for the saved in the Lord so that one can adopt new postures in one's life. As well as we likewise remember that putting on the garments that are made available to each Christian is also a practical decision or action that every Christian is called to carry out in one's life. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering.